Hey everybody, it's Diane. It is Thursday, May 23rd. I'm here with the 8 o'clock group. So far we have Maria and Anne. And Anne just asked me a question about the fact that she just finished Sanity School and she's trying to figure out where to jump in and if she's in the right place. And one of the great things about Parent Success System is you can really start at any time. And so we're in the workbook, in the May section of the workbook, and you know, as long as you listen to that orientation call, which it sounds like, Anne, you did, you're set to just jump in on the topic that we're talking about. And what, you know, ultimately what we're going to do is go back through some of the key concepts that you guys learned in Sanity School, but to do it in a smaller bite-sized fashion. So on Monday, you get an email. It says, here's what our topic's going to be this week. This week, we're talking about focusing on the process rather than the outcome. And what we're going to do tonight is we'll do a check-in, some celebrations of how things have been going. We'll figure out where each of you are going to take aim. I'll talk a little bit about the topic of the night, and then we'll do some coaching and have some conversation about the topic and about what's on your mind. And then before we hang up, everybody will have a clear action plan. So the next time you join us, Dan, on whichever call you're on, you can say, hey, this is what I worked on from last time. Here's how it's been going. And we can rinse and repeat like we like to do and learn from our mistakes and celebrate what's working and that sort of thing. Does that resonate?
Sure. Okay, so May is where I'm supposed to be.
May is where you are supposed to be, and it's on page, mine is not open.
54.
What page are we at? 54, thank you so much, Maria. I appreciate it. All right, so let's check in. So can you start us with celebrations and check-ins?
Well, second to the last day of school, just lifted a report card and straight A's. Very happy for her with that because it's been like a rough week and a half of finals. We're just, you know, kind of plugging along. We've had some bumps here and there, but we've been able to recover. And I can go into that if you want me to now or later, you know, looking at my taking aim from the last call, which was taking aim on how to get her to clean up her room. And so we had that call, and then the following, fast forward a few days, and she's getting ready for this kind of big tradition at her school when the eighth graders leave and the seventh graders become the new, you know, kind of rising eighth graders, they lighting a ceremony. And we're on our way. We get up early. We're getting ready to go. We're out the door. And the night before, I said, here's your mass tie. See it? And she says, yeah. So in the morning, we're driving down the road, and she says, oh, my God, I forgot the mass tie. And it's like, of all mornings, to not forget it, this was not the morning, okay? So immediately,
yeah.
I said, let's text somebody. We remained calm. I said, you want me to go back? We recovered without a major meltdown from her, which was huge. And I just kind of talked her through it. I said, remain calm. We'll work this out. And, you know, she said, Mom, you know, you've got to put it by my bed. I said, no, you've got to put it by your bed. You've got to, I showed you where it was. You put your clothes out the night before. You've been doing this hit and miss. I said, so, you know, we'll work it out. I said, if I have to, I will go back and get it for you and get it to you at mass. But you won't walk down there without your mass tie on. And then she just started brainstorming, well, I could go here and get one, I could go there and get one. So, you know, we figured it out, and I didn't have to drive all the way back home and do the traffic thing. And, you know, it was a very successful morning, and there were no tears and no, you know.
Woohoo! No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was huge. Well, let me tell you. Yes.
Oh, man, to have one of those moments. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And
So Maria, hang on a second. So somebody joined us from Washington. Who joined us?
Hi, this is Raghu.
Hi, Raghu. How are you tonight? It's Diane.
Hi, Dan.
We're just we're just doing celebrations and check-ins. So, Maria, anything else? It sounds like a big celebration for you.
It was. It was great. We're still, you know, trying to work on getting her to, you know, take the responsibility. And, you know, because we talked about, you know, well, what's in it for you? What's going to make you do it? So we're still working in that
yeah.
direction.
Yeah. Well, and then maybe, so I'm gonna challenge you to frame kind of where you're taking aim, and I'll come back to you in a minute. But it's sure. the distinction between taking responsibility, which is the end point, and increasing the amount of responsibility that she's taking, which may need some scaffolding, which may be in between. And so I want you to kind of think about more specifically, you know, we talk about those four levels of parenting, not getting to the point where she's completely responsible, but thinking about how to help her to become more responsible. Does that distinction make sense?
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, yeah, we had been doing very good, and then we wound up taking a few steps backwards because she needed the extra scaffolding. And, and now we're at the end of the year, but we'll work on it, you know, over the summer.
Well, and this is a time of the year for scaffolding. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very common. Okay. And you want to, so we're starting in with just a quick check-in and a celebration. So since you're new to the group, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us about your kid and a little bit of celebration.
My name is Ann Pierce, and I have a 12-year-old. He has always been in public school until fifth grade, really was a horrible year. And so I have taken him out of sixth grade, and we traveled for 4 months of the year and then came back and kind of jumped into what I call de-schooling, and then jumped back into homeschooling. And so a lot of transition, a lot of changes, a lot of anxiety, a lot of resistance to getting back into homeschooling. I'm not really at all concerned about his subjects, but he's just so strong against math. Even though he's very good at it, he just can't. It's the process. And so our success over the last couple of weeks has been him being able to sit down and actually I let him choose which math sections and even which levels. So I let him move between fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. Well, then, you know, the confidence just built up, and then he started jumping to seventh grade math and teaching himself, and he's even gotten into some eighth grade, and then he hit some walls, and so I let him go back to fourth grade math. You know, it's just like you say, it's the process of just finding a success, even if it is fourth grade math and he should be on sixth grade. It's just, I can see how huge it is for him to find the success no matter what the subject is, and when he's motivated, boom, he can just go with it. And so today he hit 45 minutes of math on his own at high levels and low levels. And so I found that
That's awesome.
A huge success.
Well, and the thing I love, Anne, is that, you know, you're letting him take the lead. You're holding him accountable for doing math. You're letting him take the lead, and you're allowing the success to breed success, because he sees, I can kick booty with its fourth grade math, so I, you know, let me build up and exercise that math muscle, and then keep going from there. Love that. Thank you, Raghu. What are you celebrating today?
Hi there. So one of the things that I was working on with my kids was having a less stressful time trying to wind down procedures in the night, if you remember from a couple of weeks ago. So I think I'll probably claim partial success to that. Still not able to get them, my daughter, eldest daughter in particular, to get them into bed like by 9:30, but even if it's 10, 10:15, there's there's more, there's less tension and more, I guess, smiles. So you know, trying different ways to ease the process post 9 p.m. Doing that, and then usually the next day morning is also a bit better, which was the whole point of the exercise.
Well, we're good. So what I'm going to challenge you to do is let's do the rinse and repeat. So you focus on what worked, what didn't work, and what do you want to try next? And so I don't know if you want to quickly share that with a group or kind of do that in your own afterwards, but I'm happy to kind of help you debrief and rinse and repeat if that would be helpful.
Sure, yeah. I mean, some of the things that I was practicing was putting calming music, also promising her some phone time, which she craves for if she's done after between 9 and 19 with other home activities, chores, etc. Both of those music as well as that promise of some screen time. Just for a little bit, not too long, of course, otherwise it'll overstimulate again. I think those two things help get her in the right mode. I think rather than pressuring for the right number of hours, just having a more calm atmosphere in terms of winding down, and then the next day starts better. Otherwise, I think they go to sleep frazzled, and that's not a fitful sleep. So, which would cause the next day, you're not in the best of the morning spirit.
So, do you want to continue to take aim on this issue for this week's conversation, Raghu?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I still need to make more progress, so work in progress for me.
So what I want to ask is to clarify, where did you get stuck? So it felt good to have the calming music and kind of ease into the evening more. Where were some of the spots in the process where the girls were getting stuck?
I think it's a mix of either the homework might not have been done on time, or the there were classes in the middle, and so more of the child herself doing some planning would help, so that up front that today it's afternoon time, so later this evening, I have this class and that's going to end at this time, so I won't really have time to do some homework after I get back.
So hang on, can I interrupt you? Because what it sounds like is that the place you might want to take aim is how to make sure that she's done with her homework at a reasonable time so that she can easily transition to bed. Is that
right. Kind
of what happens if she ends up staying late? So let's focus on the getting the homework done earlier on, so she's not at the last minute trying to rush. And part of it may be realistic expectations. Part of it may be a system or a process. There's lots of different ways to approach it. But does that feel like the right place to take aim?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. And where do you want to take aim?
Anne,
where do you want to take aim?
Oh my gosh, that's such a big question.
And I'm happy to help you figure that out if it is a big question for you.
Well, it's a big question again because of that transition. My son is, his friends are getting out of school tomorrow. He's thinking summer starts tomorrow. He's getting into a different mindset as if he were going to school, not that mindset of staying in a routine. I'm trying to really get him to stay in a routine during the summer.
And so compromising on.
Yeah, actually, that's where I was going to go, Anne, is that sort of, you know, at 12, part of it is kind of creating a plan with him. And so I'm wondering whether that's where you want to take aim is, you know,
well,
working with him. Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, today when I first mentioned a summer schedule, the first response was, you know, almost that, you know, the face turning red and I'm not going to. It's summer. I'm not going to do math. I'm not, you know, that. And I said, that's not what we're talking about. Let's sit down and let's. So we talked about what is your expectation with friend time? What is your expectation with video time, you know, video game time? What is your expectation with sleeping and waking? So we got it all on paper, what both of our expectations are, but we didn't, I haven't quite finished the black and white paperwork that I'm going to post on the bathroom mirror, if that makes sense.
Well, it does. So I guess the question I would ask is how in alignment are you on the agreement for the summer? And is it just really documenting it or is it still reaching agreement?
I guess I'm jumping ahead and I'm already anticipating the problems.
Okay, so well, what's the – so is then where you want to take aim, how to make sure that you have a – you know, a plan for what happens if he doesn't, if he's not able to stick to the agreement.
Yes, that's what I need. Yes, I need an approach and a plan that if you do these things, we stay on the schedule. If these, you know, I can't let him wake up at 11 in the morning. That's just not part of my nature, you know, so. So waking up between
Wait. So I want to make sure I'm really clear. Is waking up at a certain time part of the agreement and expectation?
Yes.
Or is that something that's
yes.
in this? Okay. All right. So
yes.
I'm going to challenge you. So there's probably a lot of different pieces to this agreement, right? So getting up
yes.
at a certain time and getting X done at a certain time. And I think that the question I want to ask is it a realistic expectation for you and him to focus on all of those things? Or do you need to kind of ease into it with some focus on things that might be harder or easier?
Well, that's clearly where I could use some help because I know how much sleep he needs. And therefore, you know, it's not really as important as, well, I mean, it's important what time he goes to bed and wakes up, but it's really important how much sleep he gets. If that makes sense.
Well, it does. And I can't, so you're going back to the sleep piece of it because I heard you say, well, I don't want him to wake up at 11 o'clock and I want him to go back to sleep. So is where you really want to take aim how to make sure he gets enough sleep this summer and gets to do what he wants to do?
Well, that's just one part of it. I mean, I want him to do it all. I want him to eat and make healthy food choices. I mean, we've been working. He wants to gain weight. That's one of his goals, is to gain weight.
Oh, so hang on. I know, and you're going to give me the laundry list because we've talked before. You've got there's a lot of things on your list that you want for him.
And it's stuff we've already been working on. So
okay.
It's just maintaining that routine.
Right, and so you've been working on it. You've got the routine going. So I guess the thing that I want to challenge you to do is to take aim on how you're going to collaborate with him in the zigs and zags of the new routine. So if one thing goes wrong, how do you handle it? If another thing goes wrong, how do you handle it? And sort of the agreement that you have on how you're going to partner together in problem solving this summer, does that resonate at all?
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's
so
really the,
it's not
that's the skill
necessarily
you need,
the
right?
detail. Yeah, it's not the detail. It's if we get off track, how do we come back and get on track?
Right. Are we going to check in every few days to talk about how it's going? Are we going to do the rinse and repeat? What's working, what's not working? You know, if he has a bad day, how does he want you to handle it? Does he want you to, you know, just let it go and then talk about it the next day. You know, it's just sort of you're figuring out how you're going to partner together over what could be, you know, you've got a big transition here.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. Awesome. Maria, where do you want to take aim?
Well, I would like to, I plan to continue to take aim on working on the room organization because with last week's debacle with her tie, you know, she saw that, you know, well, if my room's not a mess, I can find stuff. So that's one of the things I want to take aim on during the summertime is just her keeping, just light picking up, you know, and I said, just like, if you can just pick it up a little bit, it'll just make your life easier. Because it wasn't that stressful, you know, not being able to find it. And she says, Mom, in the morning, there's things I just don't see them. If they're not where, you know, I'm used to them being. And I said, well, I said, you got out of the habit of putting your uniform out at night. And she says, well, you should do that for me. And I said, well, you know, when I bring them up clean and ironed, you know, sometimes I'll stick them in her closet. And I was putting them out on the bed floor, and I said, no, she needs to do this herself. This is just a little bit of responsibility that's going to help her.
Well, so hang on a second. Right? So I guess the question I would ask is, when you're deciding how much responsibility she's going to take on and how much responsibility you're going to take on, are you at the stage where you know, it's more effective to talk through with her versus deciding this is how independent she should be?
We definitely need, like, I ask her, I say, you have, you know, you want to have a lot of responsibility, but if you want, like, she doesn't want me to constantly be coming into her room and telling her, you know, this or that needs to be done. I said, well, if you want more responsibility, then you have to take responsibility for things. So honestly, with school, it's been so busy that we've just been kind of trying to get through it all.
So now, Marie, let me ask you a question.
We're through it. So
yeah.
Let me just finish real quick.
Yeah.
You want me to finish? Okay.
So yeah, go ahead.
I'm, you know, there's a lot of things I want to take aim on. A little bit more organization and responsibility is one of them. And it's, you know, with all this time that we have during the summer, she's going to be doing a camp in like a week and a half. But I just don't want a free-for-all with all of the, you know, like constantly being on the phone, you know, texting and everything, trying to keep up with her friends. And for me, there's got to be parameters because she could just be, you know, attached to that like it's an appendage all day, which then she doesn't get anything done. So I'm trying to figure out, I guess for me, it'd be to take aim on how to relax a little bit during the summer, but have structure, not crazy structure.
Right. Well, so I'm hearing three things. One is boundaries around phone use. I'm hearing continued work on room organization, and I'm hearing kind of this sort of what, you know, reaching agreement on what relaxed structure looks like. Is there any one of those that feels more compelling for you?
Oh my gosh. Probably the, you know, the boundaries on the electronics stuff.
Yeah.
Would be the
thing
the
So the thing I want to go back to, though, if you'll let me, is when you're talking about the room and the organization in the room and the fact that the language I heard you use was when you take responsibility, I will stop coming in and asking you to do things. And so it's great because you're challenging her to become more independent. I guess the question I want to ask is that if a clean room is a 10 and a messy room is a 0, what number does she have to be at before you are able to back off and give her space?
Probably at least a six.
Okay. Because here's the challenge.
From a sitting room to a disaster, like I'll call her my little hurricane because she can take, you know, and she's done this since she was little, a pristine area and just demolish it in no time flat. And, you know, so I try to make her have an awareness of when there's no organization, it's harder to get ready. You lose things. You're panicked. You're stressed. And so, and that tie thing was a perfect example.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's what's coming up for me, and take it or leave it. But we're talking about, and I'm going to talk about focusing on the process in just a minute, but that you're talking about the fact that it may not be a realistic expectation for her to clean her room independently. And so it becomes more about how do I help scaffold her in a way that doesn't feel like you're micromanaging and telling her what to do all the time. Does that distinction make sense?
Yeah.
She wants to feel like she has control, and backing off completely is probably not realistic because, you know, she goes from a complete, you know, completely clean room to a mess in like 10 minutes. And so there's a realistic expectation. So let me go back. Do you want to take aim on the agreement around the phone during the summer? Is that right?
I do, because I think I think we need a balance, because otherwise she can just, you know, get caught up in this whole texting thing from the time she wakes up in the morning till the time she goes to bed at night, or watching YouTube or, you know, whatever videos that she's, you know, watching or shows. And I feel like there needs to be a limit. And I'm getting ready to pick her up from dance, so there's going to be a time where I'm not going to be able to talk to you, just to give you a heads up. So, but
all
I
right.
will.
All right. Well, so
know,
let me. So
then back at the very end, then I can, you know, work with you and stuff. So
perfect. Awesome. So we're going to talk about focusing on the process rather than the outcome, and this is an important piece because a lot of times we get stuck in, you know, and I'm going to use this conversation we're just having as an example, the end point, which is a kid who can clean their room completely independently all by themselves, which is that's the end point. And if we, you know, the A in the class is the end point, or the remembering to hang up your towel without being asked is the end point. And if we focus on the end point, we miss a real opportunity. You were talking about, and we were talking about earlier about the success leading to success with doing the younger math and then the increasingly older math. If you're focusing on just the end point, our kids miss the opportunity to really celebrate some successes on the way and build some momentum. Also, if you focus on getting an A, you know, getting an A in math class, right? There's so many steps to getting an A in math class that your kid may be spending hours and hours and hours studying and still not get that A. Or they may be working really super hard, even if it's not as hard as you think that they can work, but they may feel like they're working super duper hard and they're still not reaching the outcome. So if you focus on, you know, with a test, for example, if getting ready for a test means, you know, studying for a few hours each night before the test comes up. And so you partner with your child to figure out, you know, what's your goal in terms of not the grade you're going to get, but your goal in terms of how much you're going to study each night as you're preparing for the test. And what else do you need to do to prepare for the test? Well, I need to do an oral quiz. Will you quiz me at some point this week before I take the test? And so then your focus and your motivation and incentive becomes about, you know, were they able to achieve their goal of studying for 30 minutes each night, regardless of what they get on the test? And so it kind of takes the pressure off, and it helps you to really look at how they're doing trying to reach their goal rather than just focusing on the goal itself. And it enables you to kind of divide it into smaller pieces and help them to demonstrate some successes along the way. So I'm curious kind of what you think of this concept of focusing on the process and where it gets in the way or it is easier.
If I can say something really quick. So I try to tell her, you've got a test coming up on this date. You don't wait until the last minute to study for it. You know, work on it a little bit every night. You know, but then I'll hear the excuse, well, I've got this going on and that going on, you know, homework-wise, and I can't fit it in. And
so
I ran out of time. But then it's all about, but I see her texting or watching a video when I think, well, you could have spent 10 minutes just kind of prepping a little bit, you know. And I try not to be, like, on top of her all the time because she does, you know, when she decides to sit down and do the work, she does do, you know, very well. So, but it can draw out for her for a long time. So
Well, and it can be mind numbing to watch it because you can see how they're spending their time in a very different way than what you think that they could effectively. And, you know, our kids are at the age where you want them to own their time as much as they can. And so focusing on the process is holding her accountable for saying, okay, so you are really busy. When do you plan to study if it's not a little bit every night? So it's that sort of shifting the language, Maria, from asking, from telling to asking and saying, okay, so you've got a test on Friday. What's your plan for when you're going to prepare during this week, and how can I help you to make sure that you have time to do that? What should I do if I notice that you're not getting it done?
And she'll say, what? I can do that in study hall, like if she runs out of time. And I said, honey, that's cramming. I said, to review it right before the test, that's never a bad idea to have it fresh in your mind. That always helped me to just, but I said, you can't wait till then to start the process of studying for the test. You can't just do it one time. It should be over and over. So we kind of get into this brick wall, if you will, about this.
Well, and it sounds like part of the challenge is that you have a different vision for what studying looks like than she does. And so there's that dance, right? So from her perspective, it sounds like how to study is more your agenda because you have a vision of what effective studying is. And I guess I'm kind of curious, you know, how do you, and we're heading into summer here, but it's like, is there a way to let her try it and say, okay, so your plan is you're going to cram in study hall on Friday. Okay, great. So did you get the grade, you know, so what's after you take the test, let's review. Did you get the grade that you want to? What worked, what didn't? Kind of doing that rinse and repeat. If there are pieces of it that didn't work for you, what do you want to try next time differently? Well, maybe I don't want to cram so much in study hall, those sorts of things. But it's that sort of getting her in the mode of experimentation. Part of what focusing on the process is getting their buy-in for the process itself. And it sounds like that's part of what you're struggling with. Is that fair?
It is, and because she had a much higher math grade, and she did study like the night before, and then I know she reviewed, but she had some problems with like math vocab test, and it dropped her grade, and she was aiming for principal's list, and I'm super proud of her. I truly am. But it breaks my heart for her that she works so hard and then, you know, a blooper here or a blooper there in the grade, and then she's, you know, she loses that principal's list that she's worked so hard for, you know, for the entire quarter. And so I'm happy with her grades. I think she does a great job, but sometimes what I see her doing
is
harder on herself
is,
than it needs to be.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's the piece of it, and I'm going to move on, but it's just sort of how do you make it more her agenda? Because it's I can hear what you want for her. You want to make sure she doesn't lose principal's list. And the question is, how invested is she in making sure that she doesn't lose principal's list, and how do you begin to shift it from your agenda to hers. Does that resonate?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Cool. Awesome. So the other piece about focusing on the process I wanted to throw in here because you reminded me of it is that part of this is about getting our kids to collaborate with us and getting them bought in and getting them participating. So that can be part of it as well, is just saying, hey, let's work together. Raghu, I'm thinking about you. It's like, let's work, focusing on partnering together to figure out what do we want to try next around getting to bed on time, those sorts of things. So, Anne or Raghu, what's coming up for you guys with regard to focusing on the process rather than the outcome?
So, in my case, I haven't really planned it out myself how I'm going to work it out with my daughter. But like, I need to sit with her at some point and calmly talk to her. Like, okay, here are some things that are going well. Here are some things that are not. And how can we make it better, and like try and make it, let her come up with the ideas in addition to me tweaking them. Because if I just come up with the ideas, she's just gonna like, yeah, whatever, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I don't know, I think we've talked about this a couple of Thursdays ago, but that webinar that Elaine and I did on helping create support. Somebody needs to put themselves on mute. The webinar we did back in February, talking about raising independent kids and really talking about the four levels of engagement. And Raghu, what you're describing is that collaboration and really figuring out how to get your kids more involved in trying, talking about what you're going to try. And that's really the process piece of it. So how would you approach your kiddo in terms of getting more involved in a conversation about what's working and what's not?
I mean, as I was saying, like I have to choose some moment where I guess she's in a good mood or we've had some other success, and then use that rather good environment to have that discussion. I haven't given it much thought yet, but that's something that I need to to do the next step. And I also am wondering, like I read through this focus on the process thing in your handout, and I guess maybe even if she's not able to, maybe we should define what success is. And success is not just the end goal, but like maybe it's okay if you're able to, not necessarily getting up on time, but like even if you're able to sleep on time, or, some mid, so I guess you have to redefine success, right?
Yeah, I love that. So that it's kind of like, even if tonight she gets to bed at 10 o'clock instead of 11 o'clock, or if she has a backup plan for making sure she gets her homework done if she gets to 10 o'clock and she's not done yet, or if, so it's this sort of kind of figuring out and celebrating those interim goals as a way to keep her moving towards trying to reach the ultimate end goal. Does that resonate?
Yes, yes. And I think I mentioned this last time, but like, we have it set up in our house such that the internet cuts off at 9. That was partly to help aid in getting to sleep earlier, because let's say it ends at 10, then, they're just going to keep extending it. So it's sort of a forcing function. Weaving that in. I guess working with her to figure out how she got the homework done before the internet shut off, right? So then maybe I give her, she likes going to Starbucks for whatever reason, so maybe I reward her with that, saying that, okay, 2 days you do that, and then we'll Do it in two or three consecutive days, and then I can reward you, something like that.
Well, and here's the thing I would challenge you, Raghu, is go to her and say, what do you think, what would be a good incentive for you? You know, I noticed that, you know, the calming music did this, but, you know, is there a reward or something that you think might be motivating to try to make sure you get it done? And I think that part of it with yours is figuring out what's realistic, right? So if she's got a busy evening and she doesn't even start her homework until a certain time, is it really realistic for her to be able to complete it? Or does she need a process for saying, hey, this is that night that I got to stay up late. Will you help me make sure that I can get to bed as early as possible, but I'm not going to be able to finish my homework on time? You know, and that might be another piece of it, is just sort of being conscious enough to negotiate for extended time versus just not getting to bed on time. Does that distinction
yeah,
make sense?
So, but you know, just like in real life, like for us adults, you know, I don't want to go away from that 9 p.m. thing, because, you know, we all have deadlines, and so we have to figure out what other things are happening, and then this is all just like training, right? For later on. And so, like, she does have enough time in terms of if she came back from school, took a quick break, and then did her homework. I think she has enough time. Whereas usually what happens is we'll enjoy ourselves, and then later we'll try and scramble and finish our homework. I mean, I'm guilty of that myself many times.
Yeah.
But, so.
Yeah, no, and I hear what you're saying about the deadlines, and I also know that there were many times when I was in a corporate setting that I went to my boss and said, you know what, this didn't work the way I thought it would. And, you know, I'm going to learn from my mistake, and I need to extend a deadline. And so I think it's the dance of setting realistic expectations, because what you're really trying to teach her to do is not adhere to a deadline. You're really trying to teach her how to plan and organize in a way that's going to prepare her for being done at a certain time. Because that's
right.
The process versus the outcome, right? And so if she gets a little better and she's done at 9:30 instead of 9, that's huge success potentially that she can learn from and morph and challenge. And it doesn't mean you let go of the 9 o'clock, but you have a process in place for, you know, grace or for conversation or for whatever else if 9 o'clock is not hit.
Right, right.
So what comes up for you as I say that?
Yeah, so, you know, nowadays, you know, things have changed completely since, like, when we were kids, there was no internet. But nowadays, all the homework is, you're literally, unless it's some artistic thing, you know, it's all, like, online. And so, or part of it is online, even if you have to write it out. Homeworks are whatever the homework is supposed to be. It's like in Word or some other PDF format. I think it's the same set of issues to try and make sure that you know, she weaves that in.
So, Anne, I'm curious what's coming up for you.
Oh, I'm just looking at setting some of these, you know, what are the action steps that I can take? I need to physically print out the schedule. I need to schedule in a check-in time that we're going to see what's working. Sometimes when things are going well, you stop doing the things that make it go well.
Well, so here's the question I want to ask you.
Well.
So here's the question I want to ask you is how do you make sure that every step of the way you're consciously figuring out whether you're collaborating with him on this step or whether you're directing him on this step or whether you're allowing him to do whatever he wants on this step?
Well, one of the things that I'm working on from his behavioral therapist
is that she tells me I need to think more consciously about whether I'm giving him a choice to do something or I'm expecting him to do something. And that's something that I'm really having a lot of clarity on every situation that comes up. Am I giving them this choice or is this an expectation? And then having him follow through with that.
So I guess the question is, so we talked about the four roles of parenting, and the question is, how supporting versus enabling is by focusing on moving that needle, right? And so that the percentage of the time that I'm holding an expectation versus the percentage of the time that I'm giving them choices is constantly a moving target, and you want it to shift as they mature and they get older in different areas. So the areas that you give them choices, you want them to have more and more choices because ultimately that's how you teach them the skills. Does that resonate?
Yes, absolutely. And see where I think I'm giving him choices to grow. His therapist thinks I'm giving him choices to enable him. So it's like that's a huge process for me right there.
Well, and it's something to kind of watch and look at. And so I think that that's the piece of it is setting you both of you up for success by moving that needle, you know, far enough that if it's working, you know, you're paying attention to what's working and not giving him more choices than he can handle realistically at this stage. Does that resonate?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, so my way of getting him to communicate with me in a very calm, fun way is, hey, let's go get ice cream, jump in the car, right? And then I have him captive. and then we can put on music and we can talk and we can, you know, tell me about something that happened with that game or tell me about, you know, who did you play with today? You know, so having him enclosed in my vehicle really, really allows for a lot of communication.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a great strategy. And again, it's this dance between collaboration and expectations. And I like that distinction. So am I holding an expectation or am I giving a choice? And consciously saying, I want to move more towards giving him choices because that's where independence comes. So,
absolutely.
And that's the process. And that's the process we're really talking about here is the process of becoming increasingly more independent.
Right.
So I want to move us into wrap up and see if anything else is coming up. But on what page are we on? 54, is that right? Where the questions are? I can't remember.
55 is the questions.
55 is the questions. Thank you. So four questions to kind of wrap up the conversation. What did you focus on? What ahas or ideas kind of came out of it? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And how do you set yourself up for success? So take a minute, jot down some notes, and I would love to hear from all three of you at least one aha and an action item. And whenever you're ready, go ahead and jump in.
Go ahead.
Well, my moment of clarity of where I really need to be is celebrating the process success. Because sometimes I just assume that he knows that fourth grade math is easy. You should be doing fifth grade math. But back up and celebrate that success. I've got to celebrate more success in everyday little moments that keep the momentum going.
Awesome. So what's your action item in that, Anne?
Well, my action item is that I need to physically print out the schedule with what we have agreed on.
You know, he's agreed to do math two times a week for 30 minutes each time. He's agreed to, you know, limit his video game, not limit, but his video game time is so much. So I need to put it in black and white. I need to put it on a piece of paper. I need to post it in his bathroom where he sees it. I don't need to talk about it every day. I don't need to remind him every day until we get off task. And then we need to go back and say, hey, what's working and what's not.
So can I challenge you?
Sure.
Instead of just printing it out and posting it up, asking him what he wants to do to make sure that you guys have a way of holding yourselves accountable for the new schedule. He may have a different idea completely. He may want to, you know, do something completely different. What do you think?
Well, so I have posted the schedule before, and the other day, you know, I tried to move his bedtime earlier, and he pulled that piece of paper off the bathroom mirror and brought it to me and said, no, Mom, this is our schedule.
Okay. So he likes the schedule.
I know he looks at it. I know he knows it's there. And if it deviates, then he's going to let me know. And I said, you're right, buddy. I did try to change it on you. You know?
Awesome. And okay.
So
cool.
I think it works.
All right. Raghu, what about you? What was your aha?
So I guess my takeaway is that, you know, working with my eldest, getting her invested in the, you know, in like, okay, even if I'm not able to fully be perfect about organizing my time, getting her to describe something that she would like and getting her invested in the attempt to be successful, that's what I'm going to be trying to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that even if we're not completely successful, you know, even if we're partially successful, that's like going to be teaching the process of getting to full completion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So you're focusing on the process, and your next step is a conversation with her, it sounds like. Is that right?
That's right. And I'm going to try and figure out what's a good time, and then go to her and then like have that discussion with her over the next maybe 2-3 days, and then hopefully we can practice this over the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. Sounds great. Maria, what about you? Are you able to take yourself off mute?
I just did this very minute right now. So,
awesome.
Yeah. So, I need to have conversations with her about what's working, what doesn't, how she feels about everything, and really get the conversation going, because I'm trying not to direct her, but I'm just finding that I'm still directing her too much. And so
Anne, can I ask you how aware are you in the moment when you start directing?
Sometimes I'm very aware, and sometimes sometimes I'm very aware. Sometimes it's just like such a habit that, and I know it's like, okay, we've got to get this done, and so here we go. Because, I mean, just left to her own devices, she can just take too long.
Yeah.
To,
yeah,
you know, get things done. And then she'll go, oh, my gosh, the time, Mom. You know, it's like.
So
yes,
can I give
dear,
you some bonus?
Yeah.
Yeah, can I give
Please.
You some bonus homework?
Yes.
My bonus homework for you is to just start to begin to notice more frequently when you direct. Listen to your language. Maybe, you know, at the end of each day go, well, how did I do on collaborating versus telling? How many times did I notice that I asked her a question instead of telling her what to do? How many times did I notice myself pausing and taking a break and listening more than I'm talking? And begin to reflect a little bit more on that as a way to kind of start exercising that muscle, because it sounds like you want to do it more, but the first step is just noticing when you're, you want to stop doing the directing as much. The first step is noticing when you're doing it in the first place. Does that resonate?
Yes.
Awesome. And does that feel like a good challenge for you?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
So I really want everybody more communication. So I want more communication back and forth than just the, you know, reaction to me saying something or directing her. I want her to have, you know, more buy-in. So there's just got to be more interaction about it.
That's a great way to start that. Absolutely. Awesome. Great call tonight. Thanks, everybody, for being on. And we'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.